Open our Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter chapter number 3. 1 Peter is in the New Testament. It's a book that you find just immediately after the book of James. And just before we start 2 Peter, obviously. 1 Peter chapter number 3. I'll read verse 1. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 1. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. I'll read that again. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, and even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you. As we go through your word today, we believe the word in there is not ours, the word in there is not mine, it's yours. Once again, as you always do when we gather, Lord, breathe upon your word. Let your word come alive unto us. You are the potter, we are the clay. Let this word from you mold us. Let it fashion us according to the likeness of your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask, Lord, that you anoint the ears and the hearts of my brethren, your people. I ask, O Lord, that they will receive this engrafted word with an open heart and with an understanding mind. I pray for myself that you anoint my tongue and make it like the pen of a ready writer. Let the words distill out of my mouth as the rain from heaven and as the dew of the morning. Lord, let it proceed forth in accuracy, in power, in simplicity, in the love, and in the comfort of the Spirit of the living God. Let this word transform us, both the speaker and the hearer today. For we have prayed in Jesus' mighty name. And the church say, big amen. Thank you. Wives, in a similar way, place yourself under your husband's authority. Some husbands may not obey God's word. Their wives could win this man for Christ by the way they live without saying anything. About 4 weeks ago, we started a series called Home Improvement. And by the grace of God, the Lord has shown us many things. And today, by the grace of God, it's not going to be an exception. Over the past 2 weeks specifically, we've dealt with the role or the position of wife in a family setting, specifically in a marriage setting, and of course, by extension, in a family setting. And I talked extensively about that in the last 2 weeks, talking about the needs of home builders. Today, by the grace of God, I'm going to be talking about your husband has needs. Your husband has needs. Like I said, because this is a family series, we're going to be talking about it in the context of the people who are married, but the people that are single can also glean from it because it's a preparation for them. Whether you're single now or you're single again, I believe this is going to be of tremendous relevance to you. Your husband has needs. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of the things that we've shared before because I actually want to make sure that we finish this one without spilling over to next week. I know that sounds like me biased because I spoke for 2 weeks on the needs of a woman or the needs of wife. But for the husband, I'm just going to trust the Lord to give me grace and speed to just cover it in 1 week. And that's today. So I'm going to leave giving a recap of what we have talked about previously. especially because I believe we can catch up with some of with these things over our internet. By the way, for the people that are fellowshipping with us for the first time, or if you are new to our church, we've got a website, and on the website, our messages are always uploaded there, so you can always catch up with the previous teachings. Today, I'm going to be talking about your husband has needs. Your husband has needs. Now, like I said last week, it is important for us to understand that we come into a marriage, a covenant, having needs. Now, many of the times we actually don't know those needs by ourselves, but along the line we get to know men have needs just like women do have needs. And we dealt with the needs of the wife. We talked about the need for three things. I just summarized them in three. The need of your wife. We talk about the need for love, the need for leadership, and the need for security. Today, we're just going to focus on the needs of men. The first one is that your husband needs your help. If you're writing, you just give a bit of space there because I'm going to be coming back to that particular thing and rephrase that statement. Your husband needs your help. In other words, he needs you to help him. Now, this is a need that your man or your husband may not actually have realized. As a matter of fact, most men don't realize it at the point of actually initiating marriage. I want to marry you. And that's not far-fetched because even Adam did not know that he had needs. If you study the scriptures very well, you discover that the needs of Adam was recognized not by Adam, but by God. The Bible says it is not good for man to be alone. So similarly, your husband probably never realized that he needs your help. He has never asked for it because he never even knew that he needed one. He probably approached you in the context of marriage now, given the impression that everything is, behold, all things are ready. Come and share from the spoil. You know, I've got everything sorted. Because he never realized he's got needs. And like I said, it's not going to be new to us in this generation because the one from whom we came from physically, because the Bible talks about the first Adam being a living soul, the last Adam was a life-giving spirit. The last Adam talks about the Lord Jesus Christ. So the physical Adam that first came never knew that he had needs. God recognized he had needs, and then he brought a woman to meet that needs. So as a woman, you are being called into one of the highest ministry in the land, and it's called the ministry of help. It's the ministry of help. As a matter of fact, and I don't want you to feel bloated in your ego, you are sharing a similar ministry with the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls him the helper. I will send you the helper, the Holy Spirit. As a woman, you have a great role to play in the life of the family and the life of your husband because your husband has needs that he has no idea about. So he has never asked for one. So how do you help someone who doesn't even know that he has needs? How do you help somebody who doesn't have a clue that he needs to be helped? And that's one of the challenging parts of being a woman in a marriage situation because the man in question is probably not aware that he has needs. But I believe that as a woman, you've got all that it takes. As a wife, you've got all that it takes. Or at least, you've got access to all that it takes because it takes tact, it takes patience, it takes intelligence to be able to supply the help to somebody who doesn't even know that he needs help in the first instance. And like I said, I believe that as a woman and as a wife in the family and in the home, you've got all that it takes. Or, to put it in a better way, you've got access to all that it takes. He needs a helper. I'm not just talking about a helper in the sense of a house help, or a nesting partner now, I'm talking about a helper. In Genesis chapter number 2, the Bible actually describes the kind of helper that he's going to be bringing across to the man. It describes it in verse number 18, Genesis chapter number 2, verse 18. It says this, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable, and that's a very important word, a helper comparable to him. In other words, a helper at the same level who they can do things together and they will both feel engaged, interested, enthused by what they are doing together. So we're not talking about, you know, a house help here. We're not talking about an apprentice. We're talking about a helper at the same level with the man who understands what he needs, who is able to supply what he needs, and who is able to function in such a way to complement the man. And to put that in simple language, in simple English language, that kind of a helper is simply called a friend. So if you want to go back to the initial thing that I said, when I said your husband needs help, you can actually put there, your husband needs a friend. That's what he needs. And I'm saying that because it is important for us not just to know those needs, but to know that we, as women, we are equipped to provide that kind of a need. So your husband does not need just a helper. He needs, he doesn't need a house help. He doesn't need an apprentice. He needs a helper that is comparable to him, and that is called a friend. So as from today, I want you as a wife to begin to see yourself as actually the friend of your husband. Some of us don't have that good experience to be count ourselves as being a friend, but that's actually what that man needs. He needs a friend. He needs a friend. Now, this is usually the trend. A young man enjoys the company of his friends. He goes out with them, play footy with them, do skating with them, and does everything with them. He just wants to be around his friends. And as this young man grows, he comes in contact with a young woman. And all of a sudden, he starts gradually losing interest in his friends. You know, they call him and they say he's busy or something, you know, giving excuses not to be with this friend because he's now got another person that is now functioning at that level, perhaps even beyond what his other buddies have actually been contributing to his life. So he detaches himself from this friend to attach himself to another friend, in this instance, one person. And this one person is able to overshadow all the contribution of the other friends. And that goes on for a while. This is the trend. That goes on for a while. They get married. And upon the birth, usually around the birth of the first child, this man all of a sudden begins to see the need, why he needs to go back to his friends. And he starts calling them, hi, John, where are you? And John is surprised. Why is this guy calling me? He's been out of contact for the past 5 years. You know, we need to catch up. You know, the guy is looking for his friends again. At every level and at every point of every man's life, he always looks for a friend. Now, the challenge is, will you as a woman, will you as a wife, provide the kind of friendship that he needs? Now, because most of the time you see the men going out of the house looking to stay around their friends is because the friendship that they are not, is because they lack friendship at the home level. What that means is that he always has needs of friends, and that is never going to change at any point in time. The challenge is, will you be the friend that he needs? Will you be the kind of friend that he enjoys? There was a study done years ago by the British Household Panel. This was conducted between 1991 and 2009, and there were over 30,000 people that were involved in this study. Now, there were many things that were found in the study, talking about marriage life, talking about family life. One of the things that were found was that, in general, married people tend to express higher satisfaction about life and were better able to manage the deep in their well-being that most people experience as a result of stress and strains and things like that, that married people are able to cope more than single people. But that's not the point I want to emphasize today. The point I want to emphasize is, in this aspect, there is an aspect of this study that actually showed that those who listed their spouses as being their best friend were twice more likely to have higher life satisfaction. Those who listed their friends, or rather their spouses, to be their best friends, they were able to experience twice as much life satisfaction than those who don't. What this means is that the man needs, and this is talking about a secular study, by the way. It's not a study that is conducted by the church. It was a secular study, and it showed that there is a position of being a friend in a marriage that cannot be, is irreplaceable. That man needs a friend, a recreational companion. No, a companionship that is at his level, a woman that is comparable to him. And he begins to lose interest in the home environment when that friendship is not being provided. He needs a playmate. That word translated an helper is also translated a playmate. Is a playmate, somebody you want to play with. So you need to find something, and this is the challenge for the wives. The wife needs to find something that is fun that they can do together. Something that is fun to both of you that you can do together. I bet with you, if the man finds some friendship in the home environment, he will forget about those guys. He left them many years ago anyway, and he was able to survive. He's looking for them again now because there is no friend. No one is functioning at the level of a friend in the house. And that's why he's looking for them. So look for something fun together that you can do together and just be his friend. And just be a friend. By the way, when I say look for something that is fun together, I'm not talking about shopping. You know, shopping is no fun, no? Especially when you are the one making the payment. Praise God. I'm talking about something that is, you know, fun. When the home environment become loaded with tasks, you know, task-oriented home environment, men don't necessarily stay around. You know, your man needs a friend. And many of the times, my wife will find something, you know, a video or whatever, and she will just post it to me. You know, sometimes she will bring it to me. I want to show you something, and then she will show me, and then we will laugh together. You know, each time she calls me, I want to show you something. I'm excited because I know it's fun. It's fun, you know. We don't go shopping together for obvious reasons, you know. But you know, when she calls me that I want to show you something, yeah, it's fun. We share things together. I'm not talking about this family time together. That's separate. I'm not talking about, you know, family time. I'm talking about the time that you engage with your husband as your friend. Because that's the level that it starts from, as your friend. And share things together and talk about things together and talk about something fun. There is a place to discuss life matters, you know, how you're going to take care of bills and all those things. Don't let it always be each time you want to have a meeting with your husband and you say, no, we need to talk. The man's heart just jump. You know, you're going to bring out a subject about money, you know. the guy will not be interested, you know. Each time you want to talk, you know, and we need to talk. Ah, you know, he's already afraid because you're going to bring all these issues that are not fun. Men are generally fun-loving. They just want to have fun, and you must provide a home environment that is fun. Many of the times, we don't realize as women that we are actually living out of this. We are not living up to this expectation because of the other things in the house, the chores in the house. Who is going to take care of the kids? We need to prepare them for school. And while those things are very necessary, don't forget that the man also needs his own time, and you need to provide him with fun. You know, so the first thing is your husband needs a friend. I tell you, if you play with him, and if you play with him very well, you'll be surprised how much he's going to help you to do those things in the house. As a matter of fact, you know, when maybe the tactic is whenever you want to do things, you just find time to play with him. And then after playing for a while, you just say, oh, I would have loved to continue with this, you know, but I need to go and finish those, you know, chores in the laundry. And then, you know, I'm not teaching you a bait. You know, the guy will go, let's go and finish it together and we'll come back to keep playing, you know. Because the man would like to, you know, to have your company. And many of the times I've said this to my wife, you know, you're not even staying with me. I say, but I'm here. No, but staying with me means talking and chatting and talking and, you know, she didn't know I was going to teach about this, but during the week she sent me a photo. You know, I was at work. I was like, what's this forum about again? You know, and then I clicked on it because I'm now on WhatsApp. Praise God. Amen. I'm just, praise God. Amen. I look cool, you know. You know, being on WhatsApp is like taking the ticket to heaven. Praise God. You know, and then she sent me this, and then I opened it. Apparently, it's called a starter pack. Now, this starter pack, you know, if you're a football fan, you discover that my team, which is Arsenal, they've been losing games in recent times. And so in this starter pack, there is a blood pressure machine, there is a something for asthma, there is something to just take care of your aches and pains. And she shared that because she knew that I was going to laugh about it, you know, that, you know, because my team has been losing games, then I'm developing high blood pressure. No, it was fun. It was fun. And then we got home and we talked about it. That's the kind of person you want to talk to, not somebody that is going to send you the list of the things that the kids are going to get the following day, you know. That's not fun. All right, let's move on. Amen. So be a friend. Be a friend. Look for something that is fun. Do it with him. He's always going to be interested. I don't want to take much time on that. Secondly, so the first thing is he needs a friend. The second thing is he needs sex. Amen. I'm going to be measured in what I talk about here because this is a Sunday service. Ideally, some of these things, especially this one, I would have loved a situation where we'll deal with it in a different set of meetings. But because we've got little ears here, I'm going to be measured. Don't worry. Just be relaxed, okay? I'm not going to talk as if I was at the clinic. I'm going to talk as if I'm a redeemed pastor who doesn't know anything about what we're talking about. Amen. Now, but I need the young people amidst us to understand, and that's the reason why I'm actually talking about this, because it's a real need and it's not a dirty word. It's a real need, it's not a dirty word. And if there's any place people should hear, especially young people should hear about sexual intimacy, it should be first in the church. Because if they get to know about it outside, then it becomes perverted. Okay? It's something that is given not by Hollywood, not by the people of the world, it was given by God. And he knew exactly what he was doing. You know, sometimes I think about, oh, maybe God put much more fun than he should have done. But he knew exactly what he was doing. It's not a dirty word. And men, by reason of their constitution, need intimacy at this level. Now, while men ought to be more conversational, I talked about this a few weeks ago, ought to be more conversational than they actually feel like doing, women need to be more sexual than they actually feel. Now, I don't exactly understand why, but generally speaking, it's been found, and this is not just about, you know, it's been medically proven that men are more sexual than women. Now, if your husband is different, you know there is always an exception, okay? 80% of men are more sexual than their women, their wives. In other words, they will feel more, because they connect with the deepest part of their affection through sex, and it's the opposite way for a woman. The woman will want to first be wooed, loved, engaged, and then ultimately get into intimacy. The man starts with intimacy first and then say, okay, I cannot listen to you. Okay? So that's just the way it is. That's just the way we are built. And men and women, especially in a marriage relationship, we need to come to a point when they will need to actually talk about this. And the man must be bold to talk about it. If you're being starved, you need to talk about it. You know? Don't feel too bad about it. That's the way you were made. And I'm giving you the permission as the pastor of this church to talk to your wife and say, you are giving me a low dose. You know? Let's talk about, you understand what I'm talking about? Because the man needs sex. He needs intimacy. Now, you probably will have noticed that the man will probably need it 8 times in a fortnight. Meanwhile, the wife is okay with 8 times in a year, you know? I believe that it's just a way of the Lord drawing the man to his wife, because the man is always thinking that he's complete, he's self-made. But this area has been put there such that he will always come humbly. Humbly I come, you know, because he needs to woo the woman. The man can get hungry at 8 o'clock and then at 9 o'clock he's ready for intimacy. The woman needs to be wooed from morning before he will get into being ready, you know. If you're having it on Friday, you will start on Monday packing the bag and cleaning the house and being a good boy. Praise God. You know, that's just the way it is. We're made, you know. So I don't want any man. You know, this is very important because this is one of the needs of men that you can't get anywhere else without falling into sin. Now, we've just talked about the need of a friend. I mean, you can get friend. I mean, maybe not as at par with the one that will be provided at home, but you can get from some form of friendship somewhere else. I'm going to be talking about honor as the last thing. You can get some honor at some place of work and just conjure it and just work at it and, you know, and get it. But this one, if you get it outside the marriage covenant, you are in trouble. You are in crisis. Okay? And so the man that is a faithful man is caged. He feels caged. That's the way he feels. I'm telling you, as a redeemed man, and as a man that have understanding of the way, I've talked to men, I've counseled, I've spoken, a redeemed man feels caged because his needs are not being met. The woman don't need that much. But you know, when you come into a marriage relationship, you are coming to meet needs. Don't say you don't feel like it. You don't always have to feel like it. You're meeting a need. The same way the man will continue to talk like a parrot, even though he doesn't feel like it, just to satisfy your need for engaging in conversation, you need to be making yourself available. And everyone was quiet. Praise God. This is important, people of God. Men of God have been trapped by this because there is a trouble in the home environment. They are underfed. They are undersupplied. They are, in fact, pushed out by their wives. And I'm not saying this is an excuse for any man. Don't say, well, you know, he's not doing it and then I'm going out. No, it's a crazy man that will do that. In the marriage covenant, you are caged in there. If you can't get it there, God help you. And that's the reason why you need to talk. That's why the Lord has given the man the man to talk. You need to engage. Don't feel ashamed about it. You need to talk about it. If you're not getting fed, I mean, if your food is not getting enough, you talk to your wife. If she's helping you to prepare something, you know, it's not enough. Obviously, you can talk to her. Or better still, you look for your food and get yourself sorted. But this one, you can't sort yourself out. Except if you enter into perversion, you can't sort yourself out. So you need to get her down and say, we need to talk. And she said, okay, we're not to talk about the list of the things. No, we're not talking about list of skids now. We're talking about something more important, something crucial that is important to my life. If you still want me to be here by tomorrow, because my heart is beating now, I need to talk to you about something important. It's important we talk about that and never feel ashamed about it. Now, there is this word, there is this letter, humor, a bit of humor here, written by a man to his wife. And I want to just read it to you. And you get the gist. Now, to my darling wife, during the past year, I've tried to be intimate with you 365 times. I mean, that's crazy anyway, to be honest. You know, 365 times in a year is just way off. But it's just an example, okay? I've succeeded only 36 times. This is an average of once every 10 days. Now, the following is a list of the reasons why I did not succeed the other 329 times. 23 times, you said it was too late. 15 times too early, 17 times too tired, 16 times too hot, 5 times too cold, 27 times it will wake the children, 9 times the neighbors whose windows were open, 10 times you were too full, 18 times you had headache. I mean, this man was actually taking record. 26 times you had backache, you know, 13 times a toothache. You pretended to be asleep 46 times. Not in the mood, 36 times. You know, the baby was crying 17 times. You had to go to the bathroom 19 times. You said you complained that you watched television too late, 17 times. 15 times you said, but we had it the other time, you know. And so the man got frustrated. He said, during the 36 times I succeeded, 6 times you chewed gum throughout the whole thing. You know, 7 times you watched TV throughout the whole thing. You know, 16 times you told me to hurry up and get it over with. You know, 7 times I tried to wake you up to tell you that we were true. Honey, it's no wonder I'm cranky, your loving husband. I think many women, many wives in our church should have this letter written to them. Your wife needs a friend. Your wife needs sexual intimacy. Now, I'll just read a passage of the scripture and round out of that, and then we'll go to the last thing, which is perhaps the most important. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7. I'll read verse number 4 and 5. 1 Corinthians chapter number 7, verse 4 and 5. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except with consent for a time that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse 5. If you get home, take time to read that. Number 3, and I'll just go into number 3. I have more to say about number 2, and I'm sure many men will want me to continue, but I will go to number 3. Now, number 3, it needs honor and respect. It needs honor and respect. This is by far the most important need of a man. As a matter of fact, that's the number one need of a man. The need for honor and for respect. That's his oxygen. If you deprive him of this, you have in your hands a dead man or a dying man. If you deprive your man, your husband, honor and respect, you either have in your home a dead man or a dying man, metaphorically, in terms of his function, in terms of his function. 1 Peter chapter number 3. I'll read verse number 1 again. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 1. We started with this. If you want to put up that other slide, please, that would be great. 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 1. I actually want you to open your Bible there. I actually desire that you open your Bible, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, you will discover in the scriptures in the New Testament that these letters were written to different churches, talking about husbands and wives, the situation in the home environment. So if we are having a challenging marriage, yours is not going to be the first, and I can guarantee you it's not going to be the last. It has always been. And so it was written to the Ephesians church. It was written to the Colossians church. It was written to different churches. Why? Because all of them were having the same issues, the same problems, you know, at the home front, in the home environment. And here, Peter was writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he had to give specific instructions to wives and to husbands. Now, we dealt with some of them previously. This is the one for the wives. And if you are a wife, I want you to pay careful attention here. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands. Now, when you see the word likewise, what does it mean? The word likewise means in the same way or in the same manner. Now, in the same way to what? And in the same manner to what? That's the question you need to ask yourself. Now, you won't get an answer to that except if you go back a bit. Now, don't forget the original scriptures were not written with chapters and verses. I've said that a couple of times here. The chapters and the verses were put there for reference purposes. So that when I will talk about 1 Peter, you're not going to spend the whole day looking for 1 Peter because there is a reference to it. Now, but when you are doing your reading and your study, you don't have to do them in chapters and verses because it's a continuum. It's a continuous passage written. It was a letter. An epistle is a letter written. Okay. Likewise, wives, in the same manner. In the same manner to what? Now, you have to backtrack into chapter number 2, and you will see that there were two different institutions mentioned in chapter number 2. Look at verse number 2, chapter number 2, verse 12. Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governor, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. So this was talking about submission to government, submission to civil government. Okay? That's the first one. So when he said likewise, he's saying in like manner that you submit to the government. And it does not finish there. It goes back, it goes down to verse number 18. So this is talking about submission, different kind of submission. And it's a submission of servants to masters. Verse 18 says, servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear. Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. So it talks about the submission to government. It's talking about submission of servants to us, to masters. And it now comes into verse number 1, the passage we have just read. In the same manner, wives, I want you to submit yourself in the same manner to your husband. Now, what's in the same manner? In the same manner to what? Now, this submission is not predicated on performance. The submission that he's talking about is predicated on position. And we need to get that very clear, otherwise we're going to miss the mark right from the beginning. The submission that he's asking about is not a performance-dictated submission. It's a positional submission. What does that mean? You don't have to like the policeman who puts you or your car off the road and asks you for a breath test to obey. You don't even have to like his uniform. When he pulls you, when he asks you to pull out of the road, you follow that instruction, you submit to it. Why? Because of the position. The servant does not have to like the master to obey and to give heed to his instruction. Why? Position. In fact, it says there in the passage we have just read in verse number 18, be submissive to your master with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. The harsh talks about the crazy one. I don't know whether you have had a crazy boss before. He said, you submit yourself to it. Why? Position. So when you come to the home front in the same manner, because I hear this, if that man needs to be respected, then he needs to show that he's actually deserved the respect. No, you're missing it from the beginning. Performance is not what we're talking about, people of God. We're talking about position. So the position of that man, and you need to make reference to the previous preaching, you discover that the position is already sorted in God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 3, God over Christ, Christ over the man over the wife, the parents over the children, position. And I did mention that when even the Godhead displayed this to us, because even though the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are equal, co-eternal persons in essence, when it comes to the responsibility of function, there are hierarchy, there is order. The Bible says, Jesus said, whatsoever I hear from my Father, I do. Position of hierarchy. I'm co-equal with him, but in the terms of dispensing and getting the eternal salvation for mankind, I submit myself to his authority. That's what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 6. And it's talking about even Jesus, even though he was equal with God, had to humble himself, even to the death on the cross. Position. The Holy Spirit the same way, co-equal with the Godhead. But when it comes to the function, the responsibility of function, he takes that which belongs to the Father. In fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, I go to my Father, and he's going to send to you. It's the Father's responsibility to send. He's going to send to you the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is going to take which what belongs. He's going to do what I tell him to do. John chapter number 14, we don't have time to go into the details. So that's not talking about there is equality of persons, but there is also the responsibility of function. So when it comes to the responsibility of function in the home environment, it's the man that takes the head. The woman submits herself to his authority, not because of performance, but because of position. That's why the Bible says likewise, in the same manner. In the same manner, submit yourself. And I love that word submit because it is addressed to the wife, because even though the wife is equal with the man, and we've dealt with this in previous teachings, is equal with the man in position, when it comes to function in the family, then he submits herself to the dictate of the husband. Now, I hear what you're talking about in your heart. Pastor, you don't know how crazy my husband is. You know, if I follow his instruction, the family is doomed. I get that. Now, and that's why God put a boundary to your submission in Ephesians chapter number 6 or chapter number 5. I want us to talk there because I want you to get this. It's important. Ephesians chapter number 5, and I'm going to read verse number 22. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22. The Bible says, wives, you see the same word? That word that many people don't like, especially women and wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. As to the Lord. In other words, there is a boundary of your submission. There is a boundary to your submission. And the same way, the same instruction was given to the children in chapter number 6. We're going to deal with that when we're talking about parenting in a week or two time. He said, wives, submit to your own husband in the Lord. In other words, any idea that does not fall within the confine of what you believe the Lord will be giving you an instruction to do, then you have the audacity to rebel in those areas. But if the instruction is not a contrary, is not something outside what the Lord could give to your husband, you need to submit to him. What do I mean by that? I mean, your husband cannot tell you to steal, to rob, and you say, well, I'm submitting to him. No. Why? Because it's outside of the law. So you're submitting to your husband not because of the respect or the honor that he generates. It's the respect and the honor that he dispenses. And he gets that from the boss, the Lord. You remember what we talked about a few weeks ago? The Lord is over the man. So he dispenses that honor unto you. And that honor is what he receives. He did not generate it. He receives it. So whatsoever instruction and information that comes from him ought to be as unto the Lord. So as a wife, you're not supposed to be treated like the doormat. As a wife, you're not supposed to be treated like, you know, a nonentity. You're supposed to be treated as the redeemed of the Lord. But what I'm saying is, within the confine of it, if it does not go against what you believe to be the will of God, or what you know from the word, and that's why wives need to know their word inside out, then you need to respond to him in submission. In submission is important. Why? Because it is not performance-based. It is position. It is position. Men need honor. We look for it anywhere we can get it. And that's why men will leave their 25-year-old, 30-year-old marriage and go and sit in the house of a woman, a strange woman. Why? One of the reasons is because they finally found a woman that can show him love, respect, rather. Honor. Honor. I always tell my wife, I say, I don't go where I'm needed. I go to where I'm wanted. And that's for a reason. It's because I've never seen Jesus go to where he's needed. Jesus always go to where he's wanted. When he gets to a place and they don't want him, he packs his bags and go. Why? Honor. Where you have honor, that's where you gravitate to. Men gravitate to places of honor. That's just the way we have an insatiable thirst, as it were, for honor. So that man needs honor. And the interesting thing is, he doesn't get it everywhere. I mean, you go to work, you are dishonored. You know, you go to other places in the shopping mall, you are dishonored. You go to even the camps of friends, you are dishonored. So you are always looking for a place called honor in your home. And that's where you run there. Because you believe that when you get there, you are treated as the Most High. You know, you are treated with honor. You know, many times when I finish work, I just, you know, years ago, my colleagues as well, they always discover that whenever it's time, I need to go home. It's as if there's something home, you know. I want to tell them, no, it's not like there's something. What is at home is what is not here. I'm worshipped there. You don't get it. I'm worshipped there now, not in a very bad way. I mean, my wife is a professional as well, and she understands. But she wrote me a letter years ago. I kept it. I'm sure it should still be in my house, somewhere in our house now. And she said, you know, I love you, and I want to always be with you. I think she used the word I worship you, and I start that worship. I got it. Worship me. Praise God. I'm worshiped there. Amen. Praise God. You know, it just drives me to that home. I always tell people I'm a homeboy. A homeboy means I don't go anywhere because that's where I derive honor. That's where I derive my respect. Not too long ago, I was invited somewhere and I went there and I got there. I discovered that the people that invited me, you know, they were not even showing, you know, some enthusiasm that I was there. And in my heart, I said, Lord, I'm not coming back here again. You know, and the people that invited me later, they came around and they said, and they started engaging with me. I said, okay, I will consider my stand. Because why? I go to where I'm honored. As a man, there is that tendency to gravitate to where you are honored. So as a woman, please, it is important, feed the honor that your husband desires. It's the way the Lord has placed him in the house. It's the way the Lord has fashioned him. And you need to just understand that there is a honor requiring person in your house. Now, honoring him does not mean you don't have your point. It does not mean you don't have your say. It does not even mean you don't disagree with him. But it just means that whatever thing you do it from the position of this man has been placed over me. Now, people of God, listen to me very well. We're not talking about culture here. We're talking about scriptures. Okay? We're talking about scriptures. And if we want to build, that's why we started with building it according to the pattern. If we want to build it according to the pattern, we need to understand this. It doesn't matter whether the man is doing what he should do. As a matter of fact, as a woman, you need to raise the bar of honor. Challenge him. By raising the bar of honor, he's performing at this level, honor him at that level. Men love challenges. He will strive to meet your bar. As long as you keep him up there, he will go lower, and there will go lower. But challenge him by placing the bar up, by honoring him at a level that is more than what he actually deserves. That's the way to actually build up a man. You know, as a woman, you can challenge and build up a man. That's the passage we have just read, not this one. The other slide, okay? And he's talking about the wives can actually win the man. Not by talking about it. He said this, their wives could win these men for Christ by the way they live without saying anything. Why? Because they raise the standard of honor over that man. And they raise the standard of honor to engage. You know, the Bible talks about the virtuous woman, and I'm going to close with this because of our time. It talks about the virtuous woman. It talks about many things that the virtuous woman has accomplished. Now, one of the things you will find in verse number 23 of that passage in the book of Proverbs, he said, and her husband is honored at the gate, where he sits with the elders of the city. Now, he's talking about the accomplishment of the wife. He's not talking about the accomplishment of the man. But he's now making reference to the accomplishment of the wife, and he says, her husband, as part of her achievement, is honored at the gate. He's seen at the gate. Now, the gate is not a gate man. Okay, when we talk about gate in the scripture, it's not somebody that's opened the gate and closes it. No, the gate is the highest ruling council for that city. That's where they take decision about the welfare and the progress of that land. And so the elders of the city meet at a place called the gate in the Bible. Several examples. We don't have time. And then they will meet and they consult together. The wittiest woman, by the reason of her virtue, pushed that man to sit with them at the places of the city, at the city gate, to take counsel with the highest people, the highest brain in the land. The man may be a dullard, but that woman has raised that standard such that the man has been pushed. In fact, when the people in the city, when they saw the kind of honor that this woman gave to her husband, they feel this man must have something upstairs. Let's invite him to the council. I hope he doesn't disappoint when he gets there. That's the way to raise the bar, people of God. You raise the bar of honor over your man, and he will strive to meet it. Why? Because it's not based on performance, it's based on position. I want you to reform your man. I'm challenging you to reform the man. Because he has a need. He has this need. And if you feed it appropriately, you will discover that he will rise to that challenge. The husband is found in the gates of the land, where he sits with the princes of the land. He makes decisions together because the woman honors him. People of God, we are not in a contest. The home environment is not a battleground. We're not fighting for supremacy. It is a time to build people. And if you are a man or if you are a woman, you are looking for supremacy over your family, you've got it wrong. You've got it wrong. I will share one scripture and I will close. I said that 5 minutes ago. I will share this scripture and I will close. I promise you. Because it's important. The way we talk to our husbands, people of God, you know, some of the most malicious words have proceeded from the mouth of Christian women, Christian wives. You just need to hear what people say to their husband. Tear the man down from head to toe. Who are you? You are nothing. And then the following day, you want the man to perform as a husband. You finished the man yesterday by the reason of your words. I'm going to be teaching on the communication, he said, she said, in a week or two time. You need to know how to communicate honor and at the same time communicate your position. And those things don't have to necessarily mix together. You can actually communicate your position of disagreement, and you can still in that inject honor to the man. You need to build that man. He is nothing without. Without you, he can do nothing. I'm just elevating your position. You need to know that you need to build him up because he needs you. You need to talk to him honorably. Now, finally, I said it, Genesis chapter number 4, and I will close with this. Genesis chapter number 3, rather. And this is specifically to Christian wives or Christian women who are striving to take the position of authority in the family. You were never created that way. That's not the way the Lord ordered it. You know, the Bible says here in verse number 16. Genesis chapter number 3, verse 16. Genesis chapter number 3, verse 16. Now, he's talking to the woman after the fall. He says, to the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain, you shall bear forth children. Now, note the next verse, the next word. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Your desire shall be for your husband. Now, somebody says, how is that supposed to be a curse? I mean, the woman has done something wrong. And then the next thing the Lord was going to say is that your desire from now shall be for your husband. I mean, that's supposed to be a blessing. Isn't that the way it comes across? But that's not what the Bible is saying. Your desire shall be for your husband actually means you will desire to control your husband. It's the same word that is used in Genesis chapter number 4, verse 7. You remember the contest between Cain and Abel? And then Cain was not happy with the Lord taking the offering of Abel. And God spoke to him. He said, if you do well, will you be accepted? Will you not be accepted, rather? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And listen to this. And its desire, the desire of sin, is for you. In other words, sin wants to take control of you. Sin wants to take control of you. So when it says in chapter number 3, verse 16, that your desire shall be for your husband, it's talking about the desire to take control over your husband. Your desire will be to take control over your husband. It's a curse. So when you have this general tendency as a woman, as a wife in the house, to always be in the controlling partner, in the controlling part of the home, that woman is operating under a curse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, the Lord has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's not your role. That's not your position. Your position is not to take control over the man. Your position is to submit yourself under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ as the man functions and you function under the man. Your desire is not to take control. And if you see that desire, you need to begin to rebuke it and to curse it because it's not part of what God has desired for you as a woman. Learn how to respect your husband. Learn how to honor him. He might not be the most intelligent person. As a matter of fact, many women are more intelligent than us as husbands. I admit that. But you need to honor him. Because as you raise the bar of honor, there is something that will rise up in that man that will want to meet the bar. You do it under the inspiration of the Lord and within the boundary of the Lord. If you do that, people of God, give it a time. You will discover that the man actually is better than the way he has always behaved. You have kept the bar at the same level for many years, and that's why the man has refused to grow. Lift it higher. Place more honor on him than he actually deserves, and you will see him rise to the challenge. God bless your home. Shall we pray?